This summer, we have been working our way through Paul's letter to the Romans, and today we come to chapter 10. In studying this chapter, it became clear to me that I could take this sermon in a number of different directions. I could talk about salvation by faith, and verse 9 would be the central verse for such a sermon. I could also talk about how Paul was deeply concerned about the fate of all Gentiles. He wanted to think through how God would include the Gentiles in the story of salvation. One other key message I see in this scripture passage involves the role each Christian plays in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'd like us to focus on. But let's first listen to our scripture text. I'll read verses 5 through 15 of chapter 10. Let's hear now these words. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. I think some of the most quotable verses in the Bible come from Paul's letters. And one that intrigues me is verse 15 in our scripture passage where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now that sparked a thought for me. It made me think about what messages our feet may be sending. You know, what message are we sending with our feet or with our shoes? I know people certainly love shoes. My brother Stephen certainly did. After his death, my family and I were going through all of his worldly belongings, and we discovered that he had all kinds of shoes: athletic shoes, house shoes, dress shoes, casual shoes, fancy shoes, expensive shoes, shoes for every occasion. And he had a lot of shoes. Well, so do a lot of us. But what do our shoes say about us? Well, according to some research on personality, 90% of your personality is revealed by your footwear. Now, this study discovered that people who wear biker-style boots are tough and aggressive. Those who wear high-fashion-type shoes tend to be worried about relationships. Folks who wear colorful sneakers are often emotionally stable. And women who wear stilettos frequently have a vivid personality and high confidence. Now, you can decide whether or not you agree with this research, but it does reinforce the idea that how you present yourself communicates certain messages. And if we are to apply this to our whole lives, what message or messages would we be sharing? Now, in this scripture where Paul talked about how beautiful the feet are of those who bring good news, he was expressing his gratitude for the many good folks during his lifetime who made the effort to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But what exactly did he mean by good news? Well, in answering this question, it helps to understand what was happening among the Roman believers. And when Paul wrote to them, there was a big conflict in the church between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Their different backgrounds, cultures, and life experiences led to some significant disagreements. To appreciate how Paul addressed this conflict, we need to review what Paul has already said in this letter. In chapters 1 through 3, Paul speaks of how everyone, both Jew and Gentile, is under a kind of slavery. From the very beginning, sin has kept people from being fully united with God. People have been unfaithful to the Lord, and yet God has remained faithful. In chapter 4, Paul talks us about a solution that God provided for this problem through the covenant with Abraham, who placed his faith in God and became the father of Israel. And then God wanted to use Israel to bless the world and to draw all nations to himself. Now, along the way, the law was given to Moses to help people rectify their broken relationship with God. But Israel struggled with this. They struggled with the law, and they often acted rebellious. Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 10 that the law led the people of Israel to establish their own righteousness rather than God's. And then throughout Romans, Paul describes the law as a barrier to faith because it's cumbersome to keep, it nurtures a reliance on yourself rather than God, and frankly, it was unable to wipe out sin. But God did not give up because the Lord wants to share salvation with all people. And the good news Paul shares with the Romans is that what the law could not do, Jesus can. Jesus is the one who was sent into the world to save us, redeem us, and reconcile us to God. And the law could never do this. To drive home this point, Paul quotes the Old Testament in at least half of the verses in this scripture passage. Verses 6 through 9, as an example, are a line-by-line interpretation of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14, which was originally about the law, but Paul applies it to his own proclamation about the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul also quotes Isaiah 28, 16 in verse 11, and Joel 2, 32 in verse 13. And what Paul is doing through these Old Testament quotations is affirming God's promises to us. One of those promises is in verse 8, where he says, "The word is near you." And then in verse 9, "You will be saved." And then there's another promise in verse 11, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame." Now, the Greek word that we translate as to shame is kataischuno. It can also mean to be disappointed. No one who believes in Christ will be disappointed. And that leads Paul to the conclusion in verse 13 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's everyone. This is the good news. And it's not just for Jews, but for all people. And this good news comes as a gift. Paul tells us that this isn't something we can earn. See, Paul rejects the idea that we can make ourselves acceptable to God by following a set of rules. He also rejects the idea that good works can save us and repair the broken relationship that we have with God. We can't save ourselves. Only God can do this. And the good news is that God wants to bless us and save every one of us. This is the good news that we're called to share. And Paul lived with the expectation that once God's good news gets inside of us, it changes us. And we will want to share our faith story with others. And that's why Paul encouraged the Roman church to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord in verse 9. Now, sharing this good news usually involves opening up a conversation about our Christian beliefs. Now, our words, particularly when they're reinforced with action, help convey the heart of our faith. For Paul, sharing words of faith doesn't require a formal religious education. All we have to do is speak about how God is working in our lives. Now, every one of us has a faith story. And if we'll share our faith stories, others will benefit. But sometimes people get anxious about sharing their faith story because they feel like others might judge them or criticize them or even look down on them. And yet, more often than not, people see this sort of testimony in a positive way. In Fairfax, Virginia, for example, a woman stood up in front of her church family one Sunday and said, "I believe in God, but if you had known me before I came to church, you might wonder what on earth happened." And then she answered her own question by saying, "You happened to me. All of you as part of this community of faith happened to me. I grew up in a home without a faith," she says. "I was an atheist. I was kind and compassionate. I just didn't believe. It just didn't matter to me." But then she read a newspaper article about the church, and that drew her in. And when she first visited them, she wondered if she would be welcomed. And they did welcome her. A church member sat with her during that first worship service. She then joined a new member class and was baptized, and the congregation promised to nurture her. Her faith started to grow, and that's when she realized the importance of sharing her faith story. See, she wanted to help others grow in faith as well. Now, just like that woman, each of us has a faith story. And whenever we share of how God is at work in our lives, we're showing the world what we believe. Now, most people will not condemn us for sharing our faith. And Paul even promised the Romans that no one who believes in God will be put to shame. But this requires us to move our faith from inside our hearts to the outside world. And this movement is implied in verse 10, where Paul wrote, "For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved." The faith of our hearts is not fully formed until it becomes visible to the world around us. According to Paul, confessing with your lips that Jesus is Lord is a sign of your belief that God raised Jesus from the dead. And so when you put your faith and your belief together with your words, Paul says you will be saved. We see a similar thing in the teachings of Jesus. Faith isn't intended to be a private matter that we never talk about. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "You are the light to the world. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket." Our faith needs to be spoken and shared with others because it's a testimony of God's good news. This was so important to Paul because he wants everyone to call on the name of Jesus. But he does worry about those who've never heard about Christ. And that's where our witness comes in. We can bring the good news of Jesus Christ to others through our words and our actions. Unfortunately, this is where mistakes sometimes happen. Instead of sharing good news, there are some Christians who seem to bear witness to only bad news. They walk around judging others. They make the faith look really sad and depressing. And in some cases, they don't even show how the faith makes a difference to life right now. That's certainly not the message Jesus communicated in his ministry. He came to bring healing to the broken, forgiveness to the sinner, and new life to all people. He came to make peace between us and God and between people one to another. Our conversations about Jesus should always include the good news. And there is a lot of good news to share because God is working to redeem this world. God is working to right every wrong. Tom Long, who's a New Testament seminary professor, wrote an article on Romans in which he said, God is surely going to set things right in all creation. See, the good news is that God sets things right through Jesus Christ. Jesus repairs what is broken. Jesus fulfills God's promise of salvation. This is all part of God's good news, which should be a part of our witness. I want to encourage you to stay focused on this good news so that other people will gain a clearer sense of how much God loves them. And as you share this good news, please remember that this is not about badgering other people into believing. It's not about getting people to agree to a set of rules. It's simply about letting others know that God is making things right. God is making us right. The world is in need of good news. The world needs to hear that God is going to set all things right. And God wants us to be messengers of this good news so that others can taste grace right now and for all eternity. I invite you to join me now in prayer. Oh God, we know you call us to be your messengers. We are to share your good news through our words and our actions, and we pray for your guidance in doing this. Help us, Lord, to send the right message to others. Help us to share your good news everywhere we go. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.